Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sinner in the Saint. Now here's late night drunk dialer Luke Anderson and neurotic sociopath Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
Happy Saturday! That was my best Luke Anderson impression. Because Luke's not here. It's just me, Will Darkins, here with you on this Saturday morning slash afternoon for a best of edition of the Sinner and the Saint. It is Memorial Day weekend, which means most of the fan personalities have left guys like me to carry the weight. Relates back to my times being a fullback at Oregon State. I was carrying the weight, man. Carrying it for Quiz Rogers. And look where I ended up, on the radio, and he's in the NFL. But we won't get too much into that. I got a couple of good stuff for you this afternoon. You know, a lot of the times with this show, we like to have fun and keep it light. And so I tried to choose some of those moments to kind of bring some levity to these very difficult times of no sports and the coronavirus. I am available on the text line 55305. If you're out there, tell me what you're doing for the Memorial Day weekend and I'll chat with you. Also at Sinner Saint 1080 on Twitter. I'll be tweeting out a couple polls and just some interesting things that I find on the interwebs. But we'll begin today's best of edition with a segment that really kind of went all over the place. We started with some 90s movies and then it ended up with the idea of, why don't strip clubs do bottomless fries?
I did want to share this story. Has a little bit more of a local slant on it. I don't want to get too far into the coronavirus, but obviously it's disrupted a lot of local businesses, and it's great to see people being creative out there and finding ways, you know, keep people employed and go and serve the community at the same time. So I ask you, Will, have you seen the story on Boober Eats?
One more time, Boober Eats?
Boober Eats.
Is that a website for guys who are looking to eat boob?
No. No, it is certainly not.
Like just stuff their face with boob?
Boober Eats is the brainchild of the owner of the Lucky Devil Lounge Gentlemen's Club. They closed its doors for business across Oregon, and residents have been put into isolation because of the virus spread. So the owner came up with the idea, at first as a joke, of sending out the young ladies that work at his peeler joint and sending them out with food delivery, giving a quick dance and being on their way while still maintaining social distancing. Mm-hmm. So they're doing little striptease. They're wearing pasties, so it's not nudity. They're delivering food in pasties. The bouncers are staying employed because they're doing the driving and escorting the girls. And then you get a few second dance and here's your food.
Okay, so am I a group of one on this? Because I've thought about this before.
What, that it's awesome?
No, that like, is it really that cool to watch strippers while you eat?
Well, I don't think you watch them while you eat. They just deliver the food and then they do a little jostle and
but
then they take
they
off.
They do like at places like Stars Cabaret, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, they serve food there. Yeah, I've never eaten. I've been to a few strip clubs.
Like, have you ever done anything sexual while eating?
Huh.
It doesn't sound appealing, does it?
No, I can't. No, I can't say that I've really.
And I've thought about that before, too, of like the idea of you go to a strip club and they give you like a steak and a baked potato and like really nice food. And then there's like naked women in front of you. I think it would ruin the meal because it's like, well, what am I focused on here?
Yeah. See, what it would do is it would take away your attention. You need your attention all on one or all on the other.
Yeah, I'd like to focus on the nice piece of meat in front of me.
Or my food. Chuckles. Yeah, I don't know. 55305, it's a fan text line. Can you enjoy a meal at a strip club? I can't say that I ever have. But it's also never crossed my mind going into a strip club going, it's got a menu.
God, I'm starving.
Exactly. It's like,
oh, I'm so hungry.
Excuse me, chandelier. I was just wondering, how are the fries? Do you think I should get the tater tots or the fries?
What can I do for you? Oh, I'm in a huge hurry. Do you guys have burgers?
Listen, Mercedes, just wondering, what do you think, burger or chicken sandwich?
Yeah. Do you guys do bottomless fries like Red Robin? That would be a great thing for a strip club, by the way.
Just
bottomless fries.
Somebody's just corn dogs. Meat on a stick. Meat on a stick would be the thing to serve there. I don't know.
They called me in college.
People rave about the steak bites over at the A-Crop, but haven't been in there to try them.
Why hasn't somebody done that, though? I want to revisit this.
Done what now exactly?
Bottomless fries at a strip club.
I don't know that they haven't. I think there's like some of the, sex clubs have buffets. Go in there, get replenished.
Well, that's like a sex club, though. That's like totally actually having sex.
Sure.
Not at a strip club, though.
Yeah.
Now, I will say no to bottomless fries at a sex club, and I'll say no to any food at a sex club because people are having sex.
It's got a sneeze guard. On the salad bar, you're safe.
I'm just saying that, like, if I go to a strip club, I am more likely to sit there, keep spending money on the dancers and everything else if continually somebody is serving me a hot plate of fries with ketchup. Like, I'm definitely going to stick around for quite a while. Yeah, dude.
French fry motion. Keep your eyes up. You don't really need to focus on it. I mean, you can figure out the dip.
Yeah. There. And has anybody ever tried to bring their own food into a strip club? That's another thing I think about. Like, would they kick you out if you came up to them with an igloo cooler full of turkey sandwiches, chips, and cookies? And they were like, whoa, excuse me. No, you can't come in here. And you go, oh, can't I? And then you whole wad of like
cash,
you know, 20s, whatever. Sure. Like, they're probably going to let you in, right?
I just picture you sitting on the rail at a strip club eating a Lunchable. I don't know why that image just popped in my head, but it delights me.
On stage?
Yeah, it's just like on the front rail. So right up on the corner of the stage.
Sir, get and your crappy meat off the stage.
Peeling your Lunchable back and then just snacking your little cracker sandwiches.
Well, I would get the pizza Lunchable.
Oh, obviously. And a Capri Sun.
Ooh.
There you go. Now you're talking.
I'm just saying, man, like, there's a lot of things about food at strip clubs that I don't think people ask enough or take enough chances.
Speaking of the Capri Sun, wouldn't it be a good way to serve wine? Have the little pouch there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think they've probably done that. But Rose. That is a good idea.
Rosé.
Yeah.
I think that works.
Or an adult's Capri Sun.
So over the break, I was trying to remember what the other celebrity that Paul Hogan dresses up as to Rob Banks in Almost an Angel, my favorite movie of 1990. Again, 29% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
I just want to make sure what you're saying, that's your favorite movie of 1990? Because I am going to bring up a list of other movies, and I just want you to tell me.
Yeah, no, I'm rock solid with it. Okay. Would you like to hear the other celebrity that he dresses to Rob Banks? Rod Stewart. He rolls into the bank as Rod Stewart.
Isn't that the same as Willie Nelson?
No, like, totally different hair.
Oh, come
on. The hair on Willie Nelson goes down to the side, the hair on Rod Stewart, straight up, and then down to the back.
I think it's a
party mullet.
I think if they dressed either of them, right, if Paul Hogan came into the studio right now and decided to rob us, he was like, hey, get your wallets out. Let me see your money. And he tried to disguise as either. I wouldn't be able to tell. I would just be like, what?
I don't think like, you know who Rod
Stewart
is. Oh, my
gosh, it's an old man. No, I know who Rod Stewart is. Okay. I'm very aware.
Well, okay. But now remember, 1990 Rod Stewart.
In fact, I think
Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I would recognize 1990 Rod Stewart far better than I would present day Rod Stewart. Yeah,
yes, it's a 1990 movie. Duh. Come on. I'm not saying we do that now, but you choose celebrities. If Justin Bieber walked in and robbed the bank, you'd be like, dude, it's Justin Bieber. Or whoever your favorite current celebrity is. And then you totally get distracted by the other features that don't match perfectly with your celebrity crush.
It's Lizzo.
There you go. Yeah, Lizzo just robbed the bank. Now you got a thing. I'm saying
If Lizzo came in here and robbed all of us, I think that would be, and it's not so much about being starstruck. I would just kind of be like, really, that would be an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't just be like, what?
This is why it's how you rob banks.
I think I would just adhere to everything. Sure. Any other celebrity, I don't think I'd notice. Like, there's if somebody dressed as Willie Nelson, I would just go, there's some old man robbing us. I'm going to kick his ass.
Sure. Again, 1990 Willie Nelson.
I'm still going to kick 1990 Willie Nelson. Well,
I don't think
Nelson's
so.
Ass.
Oh, he's a lot tougher than current, very, very old man Willie Nelson.
So, favorite movie, right, of 1990?
Favorite movie. 19.
You did say that.
I definitely did.
So Goodfellas is below that.
Just below that.
Home Alone, quite below that.
Yes. Also, can we just give a quick shout to Joe Pesci's work in 1990?
Yeah, he did have a lot going on.
I'm just saying. Was he in anything else of that year? Holy cow.
Total Recall, that is below.
There are three boobs in that on one woman. But yes, I'll stick with Paul Hogan and Almost an Angel.
I think the only movie that you could conceivably put below Almost an Angel, and I mean this is a reach here, is Godfather 3.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's definitely
probably you'd be safe doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna like. I think once we started to kind of look into it and examine it. You know, we would eventually pick Godfather Part 3, but I think just on on gut level, okay, fine.
Sure, but yeah, I mean, come on. You've only got a few movies. I'm putting it above Edward Scissorhands, Dances with Wolves, Pretty Woman. Yeah, dude, I'm good. I'm good with my proclamation. Almost an Angel should be in this list. Ghost? Nobody. Back to the Future 3? Come on.
Now, again, that's another one where I'd go, okay, maybe it is better.
Well, can ooh, you know what might be better though? Tremors. Tremors is right there. That might be 1A and 1B.
Tremors is all right.
Tremors is great. Can I just say though, for everybody that's mad at, like, all of a sudden Hollywood doesn't have any new ideas. Godfather 3, Back to the Future 3, and Die Hard 2 all came out in 1990. So it's not new. I just realized Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. Sorry, it's Almost an Angel, my second favorite movie of 1990. Yeah. I apologize. All right, we're good.
Text line.
Gremlins 2 also came out.
Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop.
Text line. Three boobs on Sharon Stone in Total Recall.
Was it Sharon Stone?
That's what the text line's saying.
I don't remember it being Sharon Stone, but I remember the three boobs. I don't even know if that person had a face, but I know there was three boobs.
And apparently there was a movie in 1990 called Rad the BMX.
Rad. Look who's talking to. There's another sequel.
Well, that movie sucked.
Yeah.
Well, Rocky V came out in 1990. Ooh, Days of Thunder.
Was Cole he battling Trickle. Against Cuba then? Because 4 is when he was battling Russia.
Ooh, I'm not sure. You'll forgive me. I don't have Total Recall on Rocky V. Hey, there's Bill.
See what I did there?
And as usual, Luke ends with an incredibly corny joke. As you were just listening to, we were talking about the 1990 movie starring Paul Hogan called Almost an Angel. And if you are next to a computer, I encourage you to just Google the movie promotional poster for it. It's weird. It's very, very weird. Coming up next is more of the best of edition of Sinner and Saint. We're going to get into a little bit of sports, except this time it'll be, what are the weirdest last stops for some of the most famous athletes? Think Tom Brady now in Tampa Bay or Joe Montana in Kansas City. More of the best of Sinner and Saint coming up right here on 1080 The Fan. No Luke Anderson today. He is out on vacation with his family. So weak. It's Memorial Day edition of the best of edition of the Sinner and Saint. Will Darkins here with you hanging out on a Saturday. And as you can hear from the return music, we were talking about some of the best movies of the 1990s. And up on our show's Twitter handle, which you can find at SinnerSaint1080 on Twitter, I asked the question, what is the best movie of 1990? Now, you only really have four choices, and I guess you could tweet at us and tell us a custom entry, but I've put up Goodfellas, Total Recall, Days of Thunder, and Home Alone. So have fun choosing from that. You can also text me at 55305 on the fan text line and let me know some entries that you would like to insert there. But coming up now, I wanted to get into just a little bit of one of my favorite sports segments that we had. I think it was me, Jen, and Luke were talking about the idea that, you know, with Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, sometimes some very famous athletes have a very weird last stop in their careers.
R.I.P. Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Any of you, either of you, 55305, any of you remember The Gambler, the movie?
No.
There's a whole series. I think there's multiple movies.
I think there was, yeah.
But yeah, we had them on VHS when I was a kid. I remember watching Kenny Rogers as the Gambler, with the Gambler soundtrack. So it's funny because like when somebody passes away, especially a musician, I always try to go through their whole catalog and find maybe like a deeper cut to play. But for Kenny Rogers, they're like, nah, I got to play The Gambler. Yeah. It's got to be The Gambler. So 81 years old, passed away today, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Or last night.
Last night.
So there you go. R.I.P. Kenny Rogers. So Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. We don't know that this will necessarily be his last stop. He said he wants to play until he's 50 at different points during his career, at least hit 45, which is crazy to think about. Maybe he has two really productive years in Tampa Bay and then ends up going on a tour of the NFL and just plays till he's 60.
There you go.
But it has conjured up a lot of images of very bizarre last stops for NFL players, for players across sports. So I had top fours for all of the sports. And I was going to see if you guys remember the last stops and then which one was the weirdest to you. So I figured I'd start with you, Will, and go through some NFL stops. And I assume you remember most of these, but we'll just quiz you just to be 100% certain. Joe Montana's last stop was obviously...
Kansas City.
You remember Jerry Rice's last stop?
Seattle.
He practiced for Denver, but yeah, the Seattle one to me was always the weirdest. And that was the last place he played. Emmitt Smith, pretty obvious. It was Arizona. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where Ed Reed finished his career?
Ed Reed? Yeah, the Texans.
No, Jets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was
the
one.
Did he actually play a game?
Yeah, he did. So, at 34 years old, I played with the Jets. I'm looking at him in the Jets uniform, and it's just absolutely bizarre. But of those,
I feel like Ed Reed lost the bizarre factor once he started to have a gray beard while he was playing.
He looked older than all the coaches.
Yeah, like, I didn't really see anything wrong with it after that point. Like, before then, when he didn't have the gray beard, I was like, oh, man, that's a Ravens player. But, nah. But then when he had that, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a different Ed Reed. Yeah.
The weirdest one for me is Jerry Rice, because the Seahawks were my team, and Jerry Rice is such a legend. But, of course, I mean, Montana and Emmitt Smith are as well. But Jerry Rice is one that's weirdest to me. Is there one that stands out to you, Will, as the weirdest of those four guys?
I mean, I guess Montana. I have one that I always like to mention every single time. It's not the NFL. It's the NBA.
Well, I've got four NBA ones for you,
okay,
too.
We'll go the NBA next because I think I know the one you're going to pick.
All right. Jordan with the Wizards is obviously one of them.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Which was really strange. Do you remember where Allen Iverson finished his career?
Pistons.
Nope.
Shoot. I don't know.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, Memphis, yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing with the Magic was weird.
Patrick Ewing with the Sonics was weird.
Yeah.
And then with the Magic was super weird.
Patrick Ewing was the weirdest. Allen Iverson, I quit caring at a certain point. So when he was on, because he had already made a bunch of hops. Yeah. Like he went to Denver and then to Detroit. Yeah. Then he went back to Philly again. Then he went to, by that point, I was just kind of like, all right, let's get rid of this guy. Michael Jordan to me, I remember at the time, it really wasn't that weird seeing him.
Because he already left and come back with the Bulls, too.
Yeah, and I think there was this understanding that, like, the only reason he came back is because he had a part ownership stake and was just like, we got to get tickets up.
Yep. Well, and he, you know, I mean, didn't he stop his career at the Chicago White Sox?
Well, he did that. That was in the middle of his two Bulls runs.
Yeah, that was in the middle.
Do you remember where
he stopped his baseball career there?
Right.
Do you remember where Hakeem Olajuwon finished his career?
Yeah, the Raptors, yeah.
See, that one to me is right up there with Patrick Ewing. But yeah, Patrick Ewing, because he had two stops, people forgetting that he ended up in Seattle, then in Orlando. But the picture I have, at least on my screen, is him holding up the Magic's number 6 uniform next to Doc Rivers. And it is absolutely bizarre to me. We will skip hockey because nobody cares. Jen, I'll go to you on these because there's a couple that I didn't remember. And you were going through your own list. And I know you already mentioned one of these, but Mike Piazza finished with your Oakland Athletics.
That's right.
I didn't necessarily remember that, and I'm seeing him in the uniform. I couldn't picture it.
Yeah.
Do you remember where Sammy Sosa finished his career?
Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Randy Johnson?
San Francisco.
Yeah? And my favorite on here, hit the first home run in franchise history and notched his 3,000th hit. Wade Boggs.
Oh.
Finished in?
Not the Red Sox.
Nope.
Say that.
So he hit the first home run in franchise history, and that's where he got his 3,000th
hit. Oh, dang it. I have no idea.
Wade Boggs played for Tampa Bay, the Devil Rays, to end his career. I don't know, man. I just go back and I look at it, and it's, you know, hey, be mad at Tom Brady for, you know, holding on too long if you want to.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at it all week and just going, you know what? Why not, man? If a team's willing to pay you $30 million for two more seasons, even if you are over the hill, the guy is, Will mentioned it earlier, one of the greatest competitors we've ever seen. You don't go to 9 Super Bowls by accident. I don't care how good your coach is. But it is a matter of, you know, what are you going to do when you finish playing football if you're Tom Brady? You know, why not go out there and play as long as you can? Because you look at the numbers on some of these guys. I mean, you know, Piazza playing, you know, into 2007. Randy Johnson was 45 when he was hurling for the Giants. So, I don't know. There's just an element of it. Why not hang on as long as you possibly can? Because once you stop, it's something you can never go back and restart. That, at least in my mind.
Yes. I mean, he sucks.
You said he's taking him to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, he'll take him to the playoffs, but he still sucks. I mean, again, how I preface this was saying, even if they had a quarter of a competent quarterback, they would make the playoffs. Tom Brady is 100% competent, just like a quarter of his talent now.
Yeah.
So to me, that says he's going to get them to the playoffs, and they'll actually have a pretty good shot probably in the wild card. But, you know, it's gone.
Fair enough. But
the twinkle in his eye is gone. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to... if they just run the S out of the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they just pull like a Patriots did back in 2018, because that people forget about that. When they won and got the Super Bowl against the Rams, like that entire last, I would say almost three quarters of the season, they just ran the ball.
Sure.
Because they were like, oh, yeah, you can't throw anymore. All right, well, I'll just run it. Who cares?
Well, yeah. And
we're playing crappy teams. It doesn't matter.
Well, and like I said, I think the biggest difference is trying to move through the AFC playoffs has always been a lot easier than moving through the NFC. It's illustrated pretty obviously by how many quarterbacks have gone to Super Bowls in the AFC. We've talked about this stat a million times. Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls in his 20 years in New England. Mm. There was only 3 other quarterbacks that took their team to a Super Bowl in the AFC. I mean, Peyton Manning did it 4 times. And Ben Roethlisberger did it 3, and Joe Flacco did it 1. Until Pat Mahomes went last year, there were no other quarterbacks that did it.
In the NFC. 20 years? Oh, my God. I had no idea it was that long.
That was 18, I think. Wow. So, but still, it's absolutely shocking to think that what he was able to accomplish there. But I think part of it was, you know, having the right combination of teammates, coaching.
Yeah.
An opponent.
I like how Boston got sucker punched in the offseason all over sports because Mookie Betts,
that's right.
Mookie Betts and David Price went to the Dodgers, and Chris Sale's going to have Tommy John surgery, and Tom Brady's out.
There you go. Take that, Boston.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. Well done.
So that's just kind of going over some of the weirder spots that people have landed in sports. And I still contest that the Buccaneers are going to suck the large, big one. Once they get Tom Brady behind center, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just a college athlete is all. Anyway, coming up next, we'll go over some of the favorite TV shows that we had during the 1990s. Luke and I somehow got into this tangent. I don't know. It kind of bounced back and forth between Family Matters Full House. That's right. And then coming up after that, we still are going to do Good versus Evil, catching up on some of the biggest sports stories of this past week. And then in hour two, we'll also do What to Watch and some more of the best of. But coming up right now, let's have some sports news.
Friendly.
No Luke Anderson today, just Will Darkins hanging out in the 1080 Fan Studios, bringing you some of the best of the Sinner and the Saint. A lot of post-COVID stuff. Coming up on our last couple of segments. Coming up next, we will still do good versus evil. Catch you up on some of the biggest sports stories from this past week. Also, if you'd like to interact, please go to our Twitter page at CenterSaint1080, where I have a poll up right now. It's from a previous segment where we were talking about movies from the 1990s, specifically the year 1990, which is the best movie of that year. Goodfellas, Total Recall, Days of Thunder, or Home Alone. Of course, what I pretty much expected, Goodfellas is ahead right now, about 51.4%. You can also talk to us on the fan text line, 55305. But right now, I'm going to play a clip from a very weird conversation that started with Luke wanting to get a suggestion of what to watch next in terms of TV shows. He really wanted to watch a comedy. Then it kind of went to Steve Urkel and how he was such a strange character in the show Family Matters. And then, well, we just kind of went off on a tangent.
We all do. Looking for a comedy series to start watching that is lighthearted. My wife's like, let's just watch something that's fun and not taken too seriously, just kind of family fun. I cannot find one. I don't know what the hell to watch.
You said family fun?
Yeah, family fun.
So the kids you're thinking about?
Well, we can put it on if they're in the room. Yeah, that's nothing too graphic or anything like that.
Okay, I was going to suggest you Shrill.
Yeah.
With A.D. Bryant from Saturday Night Live. We watched
Shrill?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty good. It's based in Portland.
Mm.
It's filmed in Portland, but it's pretty crude. It's really funny, though.
Is it graphic?
Yeah, there's scenes of people having sex.
Well, Shrewd, and it's on what?
No, Shrill.
Shrill, sorry.
It's on Hulu.
Hulu, okay. 55305, if you got anything that's family-friendly but funny for adults is what we're kind of looking for.
Yeah,
it's a weird spot because with the streaming services, they're like, sweet, we can show all the nudity and drop in some F-bombs. Sweet.
Have you ever watched The Office?
Yeah, we watched through The Office. We might just have to do it again because I haven't memorized every word of The Office like most Office fans, which I think puts me a little bit behind.
Question.
I will say there was a montage of Jim's pranks on Dwight, and that is fantastic.
I would have to say my favorite moment of The Office still today, and if I see it on Comedy Central, I still laugh when I see it, is when Todd Packer, their traveling salesperson, comes in and they have to have an HR talk about sexual harassment. And at the end, Michael gives this really big speech about it, something about Phyllis. And then he comes over and he starts saying, like, I think Phyllis is just beautiful, just beautiful looking. And Phyllis goes, Michael, you don't have to worry. I'm not going to report you to HR. And he goes, you know what? The only thing I'm worried about is getting a boner. And it just goes dead quiet. And every time I watch that, I still laugh about it. And then he like taps her on the shoulder and just walks off.
The funniest moment for me from The Office, especially revolving around one of the pranks, is when Dwight goes, yeah, and Jim made me hit myself in the face with my own phone. And I'm like, wait, what? And then Jim goes, yeah, this one was pretty elaborate. I put a nickel in his phone every day, so it just changed slightly. And then one day I took them all out. Sure. And there's no visual to it.
Yeah.
It's just,
and I just took it all out.
The orchestration of that cracks me up.
Somebody is suggesting you should watch Family Matters.
Family Matters. Now you're talking. Is Full House still available as well?
Yeah, the original Full House. Now, this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
I'd like to watch a new show if there's one out there. I don't know that there is, but
now if you watch Full House, it is like excruciating to watch now.
Sure.
Because it is really effing corny.
Yeah, super corny.
I know as a kid, you're a little bit more, you know, you're a little bit caught more unawares about it because you just don't know yet. And, you know, you're getting exposed to media and, you know, they display what you think in your head is the perfect family or the ideal family. Yeah. And so you just roll with it. But then once you have enough life experience and like you start a family or you've been through all the crap with your own family, you watch it and you go, how much cheese is being poured on this crap?
Well, the other thing, too, that you see is Family Matters. Did you watch Family? Because it used to be Full House, Family Matters were all part of
TGIF, baby.
TGIF.
Boy Meets World was in that, too. Love Boy Meets World.
I don't remember Boy Meets World. That must have been later till the end. Step by Step.
Step by Step was in there too. Now wait, was Step by Step
Perfect Strangers? I thought it's Perfect Strangers, Step by Step, Full House, Family Matters was the original. Boy Meets World would have had to come in much later.
Step by Step was Alan Thicke, right?
No, that was Growing Pains.
Oh, okay.
Suzanne Summers.
Okay, all right. Was I get all of my upper middle class white suburban sitcoms mixed up.
Yeah,
it's hard. They're all enough. The same.
The problem with Family Matters is they were the black family in that lineup, and they had a show that, you know, they tried to address family situations, and they would address race from time to time, and the dad was a cop, and also the cop in Die Hard, which is important to remember. But the problem
because
was,
otherwise, how the hell do you know who he is?
The problem was Steve Urkel was so popular that that show got really strange, where he's building time machines and cloning himself. It turned into the weirdest gimmicky show. But if you watch the early episodes of it, it was just like, hey, we're just doing a family comedy that revolves around a black family, and we'll talk about things that really matters. And it wasn't the Cosby Show, but it was, you know, it was, let's address some real things that happen in life. And then it was like, people love Urkel. Let's just go with that and make it absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I think that's the hard part about being a showrunner, you know? Like, you have to think of ideas that, for the most part, follow a similar structure to other shows, because almost every idea has ever been done, and almost every story has an arc that is similar to stories before it. But what makes a successful show is if you have a dynamic character, a dynamic personality that can push the story in their own unique way, right?
Yep.
Steve Urkel's really not that dynamic. He's just, like, this totally inflated nerd.
Well, he wasn't originally, but
he's
then
literally
they
like
overdid
just
it.
Like he's nerd being poured out of a pitcher into a glass of television. Just like he is the embodiment of nerd.
Yes, but originally he was the wacky neighbor and a little bit nerdy, and then they went, "Oh, he's the star of the show." It basically feels like that conversation when the executive comes in and goes, "We need more Urkel. We need him in wackier situations. He's now the star of the show. The family is secondary. Everything needs to be focused on this." And the showrunner went, listen, I can't do this. I need this to be about that. And they just went, "You're fired. Bring in somebody else. Do this," is what happened to that show. It went sideways towards the end. Just my opinion.
Somebody else also suggesting Seinfeld if you haven't watched it.
My wife has never really watched Seinfeld, and she has an aversion to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, where she doesn't even watch. We were talking about starting a Veep. I know. We were going to start Veep, and she went, I don't really care for her. So.
Dude, Elaine is my favorite character in Seinfeld. She's friggin' hilarious. She's an a-hole.
You don't need to convince me. I am not the person you need to convince on this. I'm just telling you that my wife doesn't love her.
Here's the tricky thing.
But
about
she's never watched Seinfeld, so yeah. how do you have that opinion? The one I can't get into, and this might be controversy, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I cannot get into that show. I cannot make it through an episode of that show. There's something about the pacing of it and the way that it's produced where I'm just like, I can't do it. So maybe the issue isn't with television. It's with me and my spouse. I don't know.
Sam the Mailman is making a very good point that Topanga was in my mind many times during shower time for Boy Meets World.
I don't understand what that means. Isn't there an actress?
Topanga was hot.
Yes, I understand.
Like super hot. Like she was like high school hot.
Isn't there now a actress from
like,
that
really
show?
Hot.
I understand. Isn't there an actress from that show that is now a adult film star?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I would like to see the statistics of how many people per people you know, whatever percentage that is, work in the adult film industry, like on average for everyday Americans.
Huh.
Like, what is the percentage of Americans that one individual will know has worked in adult films?
Ooh, like how often in your life do you come
like
across
the percentage
a
of people that you have met and had extensive conversations with
that are not,
you know, whatever, 5% have worked in adult films. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, how many times in your life have you interacted with somebody that's murdered someone?
Gosh, I wish I knew that.
Yeah.
Now, if I had to,
getting suggestions for Charles in Charge. Not really contemporary shows. I wonder if I can find Dinosaurs somewhere. Do you remember that show?
Oh, that show. I watched that show high in college once.
I bet
never
you
again.
Did.
Terrible.
Live action dinosaurs walking around.
Actually, my buddy and I, this does make me think about it. I'm having an acid flashback. So my buddy and I, we partook in some marijuana in college one time.
I don't think it's an acid flashback if you're just on the marijuanas.
Let me finish.
Okay.
we were sitting watching TV, and at this particular time, we had enjoyed possibly too much.
Perhaps.
We turned the TV on, and Family Matters was on.
Okay.
And there was this scene where they were in a cabin, but the roof somehow, I can't tell you why or how, had been blown off.
Sure.
And it was snowing.
Probably some one of Urkel's wacky experiments.
Perhaps.
I was trying to save the world.
Snowing inside of this cabin. And my friend, who will remain nameless, who I played football with, who to this day I've been actually been texting about this because we were laughing about it, freaked out. And I go, what's wrong with you? He goes, well, I need to go home. And I go, well, why do you need to go home? He goes, because that's not right. And he points at the TV. And it's the scene where they're having this normal conversation and the roof is just completely exposed. That looks like a winter wonderland. Snowing a bunch out there. And he couldn't take it.
I hope that's not a real episode and you both imagined it together.
No, that's a real episode.
I'm just hoping.
I'm pretty sure that's a real episode. I swear that happened. I had to confirm with my friend over text message that, in fact, that was a real episode of Family Matters. And to this day, it still freaks him out. Coming up next, we have Good versus Evil, getting caught up on all the biggest sports stories of this past week. Again, just remember, you can interact with me on the fan text line, 55305. I'm still here in the studio. Coming up in hour two, we're going to revisit the announcer's daily play-by-play that started to happen right after the coronavirus quarantine started to hit. We'll revisit also my freak-out story of going to the grocery and interrogating an old man in the ice cream section. And then we'll go into another movie segment. This time it's trashing on a very popular movie that I'm sure even today on the text line people are going to get mad about. And then finally, what to watch. Hopefully my brother will be on the phone to give us suggestions on what to watch this weekend. You're listening to a best of edition of the Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the... What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, bro. Let the Sinner and the Saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
And speaking of the majority of players, star players, owners, executives, they want to be out on that basketball court. They want to have a finality of the season because everyone understands how much is at stake financially, how much is at stake for the sport. And if you can do it safely, which there is that caveat in there, the players want to do it.
That was guy who sold you that life insurance policy that you just honestly didn't need, Shams Charania. Earlier this week, Jared Dudley, who apparently for some reason is an alternate player rep for the Los Angeles Lakers, said the concept of NBA players completing the remainder of the 2019-2020 season in the Disney World bubble is still very much in play. Apparently, though, there's a catch. Players and personnel will not be allowed out of the self-contained bubble located in Orlando, Florida. Other details regarding the rules say that if a player does contract the coronavirus, then they are out, meaning they're just kicked out or put into quarantine. Now, if you're a fan of Las Vegas being the site of NBA play to resume, never fear. According to CBS Sports, Sin City remains a candidate to host the games, but Orlando is more likely scenario, assuming testing and hotel requirements are ironed out for the whole thing. I am still of the personal opinion that the NBA should just forget about trying to finish the rest of this season. I'm sure that they can put themselves into a self-contained lockout and save some money on certain things and then just pick it back up when the regular season would resume. Say they've had ideas in December. I'm just of the opinion that with no fans, I think the product will suffer on TV.
I think we have to look at the player's perspective and understand that not only is it very real and are their feelings understandable in this situation, they are widespread. And I think players, not just Bryce Harper, back up what Blake Snell said and respect the fact that he was the one who actually went out there and said it.
Let's leave it to Beaver Mannequin come to life, Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball has released a health and safety plan to return from the coronavirus that apparently is 5 inches thick of paper. That's what she said. Including the plan are many temperature checks, testing, There will be no high fives, no spitting, no sunflower seeds, which I would just guess means no chewing tobacco. So you're going to have some nicotine fiends out there. There are even rules for where you can eat, where you can sit, and how you cannot, I'm going to repeat that, cannot shower at the stadium. Where the hell are you supposed to shower? There's also some rules about how you can't throw the ball around the infield, et cetera, et cetera. After it was released, the MLB Players Union drafted a response that was described as quote-unquote wide-ranging with stipulations including protections for high-risk players, so I'm going to guess really fat pitchers, and family members, because you have to think about the fact that if you're going to quarantine all of these Major League Baseball players, they most likely will want to have their families with them. As I see it, the MLB really, really needs to get their product back on the field far faster than the NBA needs to, just because of the fact that so much of their income is based on local television broadcasting rights, and nobody was going to the games anyway in the first place, that they need to save some amount of money. There's also the whole issue with Bryce Harper and other players who are basically refusing to play at even a 30% pay cut, and that's on top of the negotiations that the MLB had with players earlier in this whole COVID process about splitting revenue. So the MLB has a lot of moving factors going on right now, but most importantly, they have to get the product back on the field and on TV, because really, that's where they're making most of their money anyway.
By concentrating the semester, getting rid of those breaks, starting a little early, August 10th, finishing before Thanksgiving, we will diminish that risk considerably.
That was a guy who obviously had about four beers too many before going on CNBC, the communications associate for Notre Dame University, Paul Brown. Notre Dame has announced that it is opening up its dorms and welcoming its students back in August, and it's going to get them off campus apparently by Thanksgiving. So by my calculations, that's November. South Carolina has also released a similar schedule. Obviously, there's a fear there would be a second wave of coronavirus. Many of the officials from the CDC have said that fall 2019 might be when you see it. And they're also predicting that it would be even worse than the first one. But coincidentally, this is the calendar is lining up with college football's fall camp. And then that goes all the way through the end of league play in November. Now, also remember that most bowl games take place really in December for the most part. So you probably would be without either a national title game, some league championships. Really, there would be a lot missing if you wanted to go the college football route. But, you know, at the same time, at least you're getting a college football season. This news comes on the heels of a recent study that predicted the complete loss of a college football season could cost Power 5 schools up to $4 billion. That's billion with a B. So remember what I was saying earlier in this segment, that Major League Baseball needs to get the product on the field in order to make some kind of money from their local broadcasting rights. Well, it's not so much local broadcasting rights with college football, but college football needs to get back onto the field for universities. You know, they had an SEC reporter, Dustin Cam, earlier this week, who was basically, I think it was Marty McGee, saying that, like, some SEC schools, if they do not have college football in the field this year, they could even just shut their doors up, because there's so much revenue that comes through those football programs that supports other programs in the university. So, again, the first step for those, for that sport, get all student body back on campus. Because if you have all student body back on campus, that means your student athletes will be able to actually play. And then you can make money off their likeness and not tell them about it. All right, time for my favorite story of the week, and this one comes from Virginia. Here's the headline. Search for melon-wearing Virginia theft suspects bears fruit. Bravo to anybody that actually wrote that tagline. A theft investigation has proven fruitful in Virginia. Just a heads up, there's going to be a lot of those puns here. Where authorities arrested one of two suspects at a convenience store robbery. Store security video shows the pair stealing items while wearing melons for masks made from hollowed out watermelons. The town of Louisa Police Department put out a call for tips in an effort to identify the quote-unquote melon heads. If you didn't know already, that's a reference to somebody who's not very intelligent. Investigators say that the two arrived at the store in a lifted black truck at around 9:30 p.m., and then they basically just put those melon masks on and started to rob the place. Now, my question about this is, why is it that these two decided that they wanted to put so much effort into wearing melon masks instead of just going somewhere to purchase a regular black ski mask or just mask? I figure if you do the kind of time to income comparison, that at a certain point, you're actually saving more money with time by just buying the mask and not spending what I would assume to be probably 4 hours hollowing out a melon mask. I mean, it would be difficult. You'd also have to scope out melons to make sure that it fits your melon. Get it? Told you there'd be plenty of melon puns. All right, that was Good versus Evil. That was brought to you by 808. They are open for to-go orders or delivery. Hours and their menu options are at ate-oh-ate.com. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to visit some of the announcers that started to do their daily play-by-plays as they were basically out of work from the coronavirus quarantine. We'll also revisit my freak out at a grocery store where I interrogated an old man in the ice cream section. And then we'll talk a little bit more about some movies that are some of our favorites, Luke and I. And then finally, we will do What to Watch. And as I'm to understand, my brother is going to hop on the fan phone line and give us some suggestions of what to watch over the weekend. You are listening to a best of version of The Sinner and the Saint right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.